Privileged to be back this evening. So glad to have everyone here as we jump into another lesson from the Word of God. We'll be continuing our series on being visionaries, the urgent need for visionaries. Tonight's lesson, if you're taking notes, is pertaining to the path. Pertaining to the path. If we're truly going to be visionaries, it is imperative for us to know what dangers may lie ahead, but also to know what God's expectations are as we follow that path. Now, our state parks are a beautiful sight to be seen. And I believe every state, there are some beautiful state parks. And Yellowstone National Park is a park that people drive from all over the country to see with geysers and with hot springs and things with that nature. The hot springs are beautiful, but they're also dangerous. Understanding that a few weeks ago, a young man lost his life by not heeding to those warnings and falling into one of those hot springs. They tried to seek and to find this young man, but all they could find were a few of his personal effects. They don't know what truly happened to his body. But if you look at the hot springs in pictures, the sides are beautiful color of red and orange, and they sink down to the most beautiful and clear blue that you can see. And it just looks like something that you would want to jump into and something you would want to play in and something that would be comfortable. But there were signs all along the way that said, don't go here. Follow on this path. Danger awaits if you leave this path. Yet the young man left anyway. We can tie a spiritual comparison to this as well. The hot springs, which had these beautiful colors, were dangerous if we fell in those. If we look at the more spiritual side, we can see sin that from the path that God has chosen for us is dangerous. That sin, though, could be something that is pleasing, that doesn't look like it would be all that bad, that was beautiful in color, that is beautiful in emotions, that is beautiful in ways that we think that it's going to make us feel. But what we find is that it can end our spiritual life. Chris McCurley, a gospel preacher in Abilene, Texas, said, I think God would rather rein in a wild stallion than a dead donkey any day. We consider that some understand that there are dangers in this life, which there are. And instead of following the path, we'll say, I am too scared. And we'll not get up. We'll not run the race. We need to be a people that are wild stallions, who have a desire to work, that are coachable, that our eldership says this is something that we want to do, and they're able to rein us in instead of trying to revive a dead donkey, which can be difficult. So we must go out on the path, and we must obey that path's warnings. Our first point is that we are to press toward the goal. We can't just sit in the same place and expect to grow. We can be on the right track, but if we don't get to moving, we're going to get run over. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, brothers, I do not consider it that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's look over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, and we consider running a race. The only way that someone can win a race is to actually run the race. No one is going to win the Boston Marathon sitting at home on their couch. If that were the case, I've won it for 10 years. We've got to be a people that if we are going to run the race, we actually have to get up, we have to follow the rules of the race, and we have to participate. We don't just get to sit there and say, look, I've won. We look to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Paul continues on in this passage of Scripture, talking about how with that worldly race, only one person wins. But if we run the race of God, we all win. We all have that hope. We all have that success. I made reference to this in my Bible class this morning. One of my favorite videos on YouTube comes from a South Carolina football game. This is 3 or 4 years old. And they had a family out on the 50-yard line. And they had they interviewed the family, the mother, the children. And then on the Jumbotron, the great big screen, was a message from their father. This morning I told the story and got goosebumps about this point, getting goosebumps again. And the father said, "I will see you soon. I can't wait to see you soon." And the family kind of teared up. More goosebumps are coming. And there's kind of a silence. Then out this soldier walks from the place the players come from, down that hallway. And the family saw him, and they ran as hard as they could from the 50-yard line. And there were 90,000 football fans that were screaming at the top of their lungs. And I can't help but make a heavenly comparison. There are family members who have passed on that were obedient to the gospel. Family members who are waiting for us to get to paradise. Now imagine as they wait and they see us when we have passed on and we're coming into paradise, they're going to run to us as hard as they can, and the angelic host is going to be cheering, excited that another was obedient. If we are going to have that successful homecoming, we've got to run the race. We've got to run the race. We have, pertaining to the path, we have to get on the path. Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. "But if we follow this path, is there a chance that we are going to get tired?" Absolutely. Is there a chance that we can get hurt? Oh, you better believe it. That's what we're promised, is persecution. Is there a chance that we could lose our earthly life? Yes, there's that chance, but it will be worth it. We look to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10, "And you have suffered a little while, and the God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." If we run the race, if we follow the path, if we get up and we have gumption, we will be rewarded. Not because that we are great, because that is the system that God has put into place. God loves us so much and did everything, including sending Jesus to the cross to be that perfect sacrifice for us. He's laid out the path. It's up to us to follow it. The second point this evening is that we have to perceive God's standards. We have to perceive God's standards. We've looked at Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, where we'd "Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained." If we are going to follow the path, we follow it God's way. God established the path. We need to be obedient. We need to follow the path. We follow the rules. As I referenced before with the Boston Marathon, I'm not going to win it sitting on my couch. And I'm also not going to win it driving my car. I'm not going to win it getting on one of those mopeds, those Vespas. And everybody else is warming up and stretching and starting. I pull up with my little helmet on and then I just drive the 28 miles or whatever it is. I'm like, "I won." They're like, "No, you didn't. You didn't even enter the race. And you're supposed to run a marathon. You don't drive a marathon." I'm like, "Well, good. I'm not even out of breath. I just rode on my Vespa. I wouldn't win. Because I didn't follow the rules." Let's look to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16. In Galatians chapter 6, we see Paul making reference to spiritual Israel as well as physical Israel. When talking about Jerusalem at the time, they were following a system that Jesus died and put away, the law of Moses. Yet spiritual Israel is us. the church, the chosen ones. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." We follow what God's expectations are. The beauty that we find in having a path is that we know where to go. We know where to go. We can study our Bibles and find what God expects of us. And it is so clear. It is so clear what God's expectations are for us. John 14, 15 says, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." John 15, 14, "You are my friends if you do what I command you to do." This is Jesus pleading with those who are around him to be obedient. Yet we have some who worship postmodern Jesus. And postmodern Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. Postmodern Jesus says that anything is okay. You come as you are. Show up, give your money, and leave. And you are good to go. Postmodern Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible said, "Obey my commandments." The Jesus of the Bible said, "Repent or likewise perish," in Luke 13:3. We consider the standards that are set as we've been told what we must do. If we are going to follow the path, if we are going to run the race, we need to understand the rules. We need to understand the rules. God requires us to follow His standards, and those are what we should seek. His standards are what we should follow. And it can be fun to veer off that chosen path, but we have to trust God that we truly aren't missing out on anything. Everything is found in Him, and eternity will be worth it. You know, some will say, "Well, you know, I'm missing out on the parties. I'm missing out on all different types of things." As someone who partied in college, you're not missing out on anything. You're really not. It's really not as fun as they make it out to be. We have a Bible study that goes on at the gym on Thursday nights, and this is something that we talked about, is all of the things that people say they enjoy so much really aren't that fun. I remember drinking so much brain remover, I got sick and threw up in my neighbor's yard. Do I look back at that and go, "Wow, that was such good times and so much fun"? No. Nobody in the history of the world is going to get that drunk and deal with the consequences and say, "That sure was neat. I sure want to do that again for the fun of it." We need to follow God's path. If we veer off that path, we can fall into one of those hot springs, just as that young man did, and he lost his life. We can veer away from God's plan, off of the path that He has set forth for us to follow, and we can end up spending eternity apart from Him. We look at the purpose to follow godly examples. We as Christians, if we are going to follow this path, we need to look to godly examples. Godly examples are what lights the path for us so we can see where we can go. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 says something similar. "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me." Yet we look a few chapters ahead in 1 Corinthians, and Paul reiterates this statement. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, "Be imitators of me just as I also am of Christ." The reason that we have warning signs on these paths and parks, and the reason that we have warnings on different types of medicine and on different household devices is because somebody else has explored that. Somebody has gotten sick by eating a whole tube of toothpaste. Guarantee it. Someone has decided to drink ear drops to make their ears feel better, and they're not going to put them in their ears. There are reasons that we have so many warnings on everything. And that is because there are people that have gone on before us that have made stupid mistakes or have followed something and just didn't understand that you don't need to drink Crisco or something like that. There's reasons we have those warning signs, but we look at the warning signs ahead of us in our walk. It's because Jesus was here. Jesus understood temptations, and Jesus was tempted just like we are in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Yet he didn't falter. The warning signs are in place for us because he walked that life. Paul walked that life. We look to 1 Peter chapter 5 in verse 3, if you'll turn with me over there. We have a plea to the elders. A plea to the elders, and what we see is, nor yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. Elders are to lead by example. So we have shepherds here at North Jefferson that do lead by example. They work, and they want to work, and they want us to work with them. The reason that there are places in those state parks that have warning signs is because danger is ahead. And it's somebody who experienced that or understood the problem that could come from that. We have to purpose to follow godly examples. That's going to take us studying our Bibles. That's going to be us looking at different people of the Bible, the mistakes that they made, as well as the triumphs that they had. The fourth point of our lesson this evening is we must prepare our minds for the path. We've talked about pressing toward the goal. We have to get up. We have to get on the path. We've talked about following God's standards. We know which way that we are supposed to go to be pleasing to God. We see that we must follow godly examples, but we also must prepare our minds for that path. Nobody is going to accidentally become a Christian. We must purpose in our hearts that we are going to run that race. Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21 says, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." We purpose that we are going to follow the plan. There are many people who have said, "I'm going to run this race." And maybe for an extended period of time they do, but they get tired. They don't like the warnings. They don't like the danger. They don't like the persecution. And they just say, "I'm going to do my own thing." And they veer off that path. And they decide to choose something that is not God. But salvation is only found in God. Salvation is only found in God. Let's look at the next chapter, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. And Paul makes a plea to the Philippians who are reading this. "What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Paul is urging them to be peacemakers. And here he says, set your mind where it should be. And that is something that is daily. Those who struggle with alcoholism, I'm told in the 12-step program and the AA program, is that that every day is a new day. You wake up and do your best for that day. And as Christians, we should strive to do that the same way. When our feet hit the floor, or when our eyes open in the morning, say, "I am going to be the best Christian that I can possibly be. I'm going to try to lead others to Christ. I am going to be obedient to God, and that is what I'm going to do today, is to serve God." If we look over to Colossians chapter 3, we'll read verses 2 through 8. And it takes an effort for us. We consider a life that is pertaining to the path. We need visionaries who are not only going to understand what the path is, but are going to actually be on the path. And not only are they going to be on their path, they are going to do so with purpose. They are going to do so with excitement. They are going to do so with energy. And surround themselves with people who are going to go down that path with them. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 8, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, God's wrath is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. If we are going to purpose to get on that path, we have to put those worldly things behind us. Not some that we think are a big deal, yet continue to glory in others. Put sinfulness away and do our best to be positive examples. If we are going to be visionaries, we've got to be ready to be active. We have to understand what we're doing and why we are doing it. We must be able to explain to others, this is where my hope is. This is why we do what we do. And that's going to take effort, and it's going to take study, and it's going to take purpose. We must understand that accidents can happen. We see accidents happening in these public parks. We see those beautiful hot springs, the red banks that flow into the orange, that seep down into the green, that get down to that beautiful blue that beckons us to want to go and swim. But they're dangerous. We consider that sin, while it may look beautiful, will lead to an eternal death. We must instead be ready to walk the path anyway, not being distracted by sin. We must understand God's standards so that we can stay on the path. We must follow examples. Those can be biblical, or those can be seasoned Christians who are active in their faith, who are people that we want to be like. So we must prepare our minds for the journey that's ahead. Purpose, that we are going to be Christians. And all of these things pertain to the path that leads to heaven. This evening, if you haven't walked the path as you should, if you aren't as far along as you would like to be, just make that change. You don't have to come forward. But if you are struggling, if you are falling down, if you are hurting, let us help lift you back up. I know Chris and I often give in the invitation, if you have any spiritual needs, and it can sound like the same thing over and over, but I want you to check your heart this evening. Do you need the prayers of the congregation? Do you need to let the congregation know that you're struggling, you're hurting, you need love, you need the family right now? Don't be embarrassed. Get the help you need. Do whatever it takes to get right with God. But if you haven't become a Christian, you haven't started on the path. We look through Scripture, there's only one way that you become a Christian. And you must do all of them, not just part. You've got to hear, you've got to believe, you've got to repent, as Christ said in Luke 13:3. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, as Romans 10:9-10 state, and be baptized to walk in a newness of life, as Romans 6:3-4 state, because baptism, which corresponds to this, that large water event with the flood, now saves you, as 1 Peter 3:21 says. Don't leave this evening hurting. Don't leave this evening wondering if you're right with God. Don't leave this evening downhearted. Don't leave this evening hurting. Do whatever it takes to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.